Holy men, read. The iron chalice felt familiar in my hand as I lifted it to my lips. Too familiar, like I descended a flight of stairs but missed the bottom step. The second the ice water touched my tongue, an invisible force sucked me forward, and I tipped straight over the horizon. The next second, I resurfaced in the cathedral's formal courtroom. The hard benches and wood-paneled walls I recognized immediately, the honeyed notes in the air, beeswax candles. They cast the room in flickering light as curtains had been drawn over its pointed stained-glass windows. I'd guarded those vaulted doors, behind the podium, behind the archbishop, at least a dozen times while the guilty had awaited verdict. We hadn't committed many inside these halls. King Auguste and his guard had dealt with common criminals, while witches themselves hadn't been afforded trial at all. No, those who testified here had been charged with the crimes in between. Conspiracy, aiding and abetting the occult, even attempted witchcraft. In my years with the chasseurs, only a rare few had openly sympathized with witches. Some had been tempted by power, others beguiled by beauty. Still others had sought magic for themselves. To the last man and woman, all had burned. I swallowed hard as Lou and Coco landed beside me. Stumbling slightly, Coco knocked into the silver-haired man beside us. He didn't acknowledge her. Indeed, when her shoulder passed through his arm, incorporeal, I frowned. They couldn't see us then. "Pardon her, sir," I murmured, testing another theory. He didn't respond. "They can't hear us either." Contrary to her words, Lou spoke in a whisper, her eyes fixed on something in the center of the chamber. I turned, blanched, scowling and fierce. Philippe, once a comrade in arms, dragged my mother to the podium. She'd been gagged and bound. Blood, both crusted black and fresh scarlet, stained the entirety of her gown, and her body hung limp. Drugged, her eyes fluttered between sleep and wakefulness. "Oh my God." Coco lifted a hand to her mouth in horror. "Oh my God." Philippe didn't bother to unbind her hands. He simply nailed her ear to the podium. Shrieking, she lurched awake, but the movement only exacerbated her position, tearing the cartilage. Her screams soon morphed to sobs at Philippe's laughter. Under the drug's influence, she couldn't support herself, and when she sank to the floor, her ear tore free completely. Red washed over my vision. I started forward before I could stop myself, halting only when another man rose across the chamber. As with the iron chalice, I recognized his face, grizzled beard, gaunt cheeks, stormy eyes, though it took me several seconds to place him. "Was that necessary, huntsman?" His hard voice cut sharp through the din of the room. At once, every other voice fell silent. Every eye turned to him. His attention didn't waver from Philippe, however. "If I'm not mistaken, this woman has been incapacitated with hemlock per healer's guidance. She poses no threat in her current condition. Surely such additional measures are cruel and unusual?" Though he posed the last as a question, no one mistook it as such. The censure in his tone rang clear. And that was when I placed him, standing between pews, holding a pot of stew in his gnarled hands. Most in the church wouldn't welcome their own mother if she was a sinner. Achille Altier. Gone was the stooped, cantankerous old man from the graveyard parish, however. He'd combed and oiled his beard, trimmed it neatly. His robes, too, shone resplendent, even in the semi-darkness. More so, he held himself differently, straighter, taller, and commanded the room with an ease I envied. Philippe bristled, squaring his shoulders, glancing around at the conclave's hard, impassive faces. "It's a witch, father. Surely no precaution is too great." "Are you saying you know better than the priests in our infirmary?" Philippe's face paled. "I..." "Now, now," The man beside us rose to his feet as well, standing nearly as tall and broad as me. Despite his silver hair, thick and shining as a younger man's, he radiated youth and vitality. Golden skin, classic features, some might have even considered him handsome. In his pale blue eyes, however, malice glittered. God had created him as Achilles' opposite in every way. "Let us not rush to condemn Chasseur Brisebois for protecting us against the devil's mistress, whose very power lay within her deceit." He arched a thick brow. "Though I must rebuke the blood he spilled upon our podium." Philippe hastily bent his head. "My apologies, Father Gaspard." Father Gaspard. My mind quickly filled the gap. Father Gaspard Fosse. I recognized the name from my time spent north in Amandine. There, he'd cultivated the largest parish in the kingdom outside of Caesarine, creating a name for himself in the process. The archbishop hadn't cared for his ambition, his guile, his clever tongue. I'd adopted the archbishop's opinion at the time. I disliked Father Gaspard on principle, but now, having met the man myself, I realized the archbishop had spoken truth, at least in this instance. Father Gaspard wasn't a holy man. I frowned at my own abrupt conclusions. What had I seen to form such an assumption? He'd defended a chasseur from open criticism. He'd grown his parish. Both should have been admirable behaviors, biblical ones, but they weren't. They weren't, and I didn't understand. Not him, not the church, not this growing heat in my chest or this pricking sensation along my skin, like it had grown several sizes too small. "You are forgiven, child," he said, despite Philippe's gray-streaked beard. "All is forgiven in pursuit of our noble cause. The Father knows your heart. In violence against these creatures, he compels your hand." Gaspard ambled down the steps toward Philippe, slowly, almost leisurely, sleek and proud and superior. Father Achille might have rolled his eyes. Regardless, he hobbled down his own stairs, following Gaspard's lead across the chamber. The two met on either side of the podium, of my mother. Achille stepped in front of her. His robes shielded her comatose body. "He never compels our hands to violence." "Stand down, old man," though murmured, Gaspard's voice still reverberated through the quiet room. One could have heard a pin drop. "We are here to burn the witch, not coddle it." My cheeks flushed with anger, with inexplicable hurt, but I shouldn't have been agitated. I shouldn't have been hurt, and I definitely shouldn't have felt concern for the witch below. As with Céline and Gaspard, however, I couldn't explain my own decisions. I didn't love her anymore. I didn't like Father Gaspard. And I didn't want my mother, a witch, to suffer. I didn't want her to burn. Sick shame washed through me at the last, and I sank onto the nearest bench, desperate to regain my composure. When Lou followed, touching a hand to my back, I forced myself to count to 3, to 5, to 10, anything to focus my turbulent thoughts. I knew what I should do. I pictured it clearly, unsheathing my knife to lop off her hand, to plunge it into her heart. Equally clear, I pulled her close and buried my nose in her neck. I tasted her scar. I spread her legs across my lap, and I touched her gently. Touched her not gently. Touched her any way she wanted. When her lips parted, I stole my name from them, and I kept it forever. Not a scream of pain, but a cry of longing. "This is how you touch a woman. This is how you touch me." Pain cleaved my skull in two at the stark imagery, and I pitched forward, seizing my head, expelling the hateful words, the hateful voice. As they scattered and drifted, the pain receded, but my shame fanned hotter than before, intolerable. I moved to fling her hand away from me. I stopped at the last moment. When she leaned over my shoulder,
Her hair tickled my cheek. Reed?
No decision has been made, Achille growled. Gaspard smiled, a cat with a juicy secret. Of course it has. I cannot blame you for this ignorance, of course, as your idealism has hardened many against you. They dare not speak freely in your presence for fear of censure. When Achille didn't give him the satisfaction of a reply, not a frown, not even a blink, he continued. By all means, however, let us wait for His Majesty to tally the vote. He arrives at any moment. He leaned forward to whisper something in Achille's ear then, a real whisper this time, not a feigned one. Stiffening, Achille muttered something back. As if given permission, the conclave broke into low conversation of their own, all waiting for my father to arrive. Blue sat beside me.
They won't really burn her. Don't worry.
Her thigh pressed into my own. I forced myself to scoot away.
They will.
Coco grimaced and slid beside Lou, bouncing her own leg in agitation.
Unfortunately, I think he's right. Auguste will probably burn her with the hellfire out of spite.
Lou glanced at me in alarm, eyes wide.
What do we do?
Nothing.
When she arched a brow, unimpressed, I scowled and added,
There's nothing we can do.
Even if I wanted to help her, which I don't,
there isn't time. My mother is a witch, and she'll burn for her sins.
You are a witch, Lou snapped. And even if you weren't, you've conspired with us plenty. She ticked off my crimes on her fingers, each a knife coated in poison. You've married a witch, I didn't remember, slept with a witch, I wished I did, hidden and protected a witch multiple times, I closed my eyes, innards clenching, and best yet, you've murdered for a witch, four of us, to be precise. My eyes snapped open as she rotated a finger between the three of us, then jabbed it toward the chamber floor. And the most important of those is bleeding out on the carpet right now. Because of you, might I add. She sacrificed herself for you, her son, whom she loves.
Most in the church wouldn't welcome their own mother if she was a sinner. But I wasn't a holy man either.
I clenched my fists and looked away.
I can't do magic.
You can.
Voice conversational. Coco examined a scar on her wrist. And many times, you practiced when Lou wasn't directly involved, which means you're choosing to forget. When I opened my mouth to answer, to snarl, she merely flicked a finger at me. Shut up, I'm not interested in excuses. Isla gifted us this vision, so we need to pay attention. We're here for a reason. I glared at her as she glared at me. Crossing her arms, Lou exhaled hard through her nose, still angry. We had that in common, too, apparently. After a moment, she asked, What does Madame Lebel have to do with electing a new archbishop?
They're using her indictment as their own sort of tribunal.
I shouldn't have explained anything to her. I couldn't stop. Jerking my chin toward Achille and Gaspard, I added,
Those two are positioning themselves for the title.
Coco grimaced and scanned the chamber. Presumably for whatever Isla had wanted us to find. Achille had better win. Lou glanced between us. Do you know him?
He was the priest in Fitombo.
He recognized us from the wanted posters, yet he still sheltered us for the night, even fed us his breakfast. He didn't like Beau much, Coco added, as if this were another mark in the man's favor. He'll make the first decent archbishop that Belterra has ever seen.
He won't.
To prove my point, I gestured to the men clustered directly below us. They'd pressed their heads together to whisper, necks tense, voices strained. Lou and Coco exchanged a glance before leaning toward them to listen.
Not doing himself any favors, the balding one hissed. Not with his history.
What history?
His younger, equally bald companion asked. The third, also bald, but with a long beard, shook his head.
I suppose you wouldn't know, would you, Emil? It happened before you were born.
This isn't his first campaign,
the balding one sneered down at Achille with unaccountable hostility.
Achille lobbied alongside Florin for support during the last conclave, but he rescinded his candidacy at the last moment.
Never gave an explanation,
the bearded one added.
Just relegated himself to that dismal little parish up north.
Old Florin took the title, and no one heard from Achille for nearly 30 years, until now.
A knock sounded on the vaulted doors, and the men paused, watching as Philippe slipped into the hall, closing them behind. The balding man snorted and resumed his malicious gossip.
I heard his brother fell in with a witch. I can't remember his name.
Audric,
the bearded one supplied, his expression thoughtful. Unlike his peer, he seemed less inclined to loathe Achille. He peered down at the man in question almost curiously.
My father said Achille helped the whole family slip past the border.
The younger's lip curled. I didn't know he sympathized with witches.
How could you not?
The balding man pointed to where Achille still shielded my mother.
He stands no chance of procuring the vote, not with the way he carries on. All this talk of peace and civility with the creatures of this kingdom. The conclave will never appoint him. Clearly, his seclusion has altered his senses.
Lou scoffed with unexpected vehemence. Do you think he'd feel it if I cut out his tongue? Unable to remain still, I stalked down the steps toward my mother.
You will not touch them.
Why? She hurried to trail after me. He's clearly a bastard. The vaulted doors burst open before she could finish. Clad in a cape made of lion's fur, the mane draped across his shoulders, my father strode inside the courtroom. Philippe and three huntsmen I didn't recognize accompanied him. As one, the entire congregation rose and bowed at his arrival. Every man, even Achille. My stomach turned as I lurched to a halt by the podium.
He'd threatened torture the last time I saw him. Threatened rats. Immediately, my gaze dropped to my mother, who lay very still. Though her dress had once been emerald green, I couldn't now place its color. An unpleasant shade of brown, perhaps. I knelt to examine her stomach. When her eyes fluttered at the movement, I froze.
Yes, yes, bonjour,
Auguste waved an agitated hand. He offered no smiles today, no empty platitudes. I surveyed him with mounting hatred. His hair remained immaculate, of course, but shadows deepened his eyes. His fingers trembled inexplicably. He hid them in his cape.
I cannot stay long. Though this damned fire has abated slightly,
several around the room stared at the expletive, but Auguste didn't apologize.
The healers at last believe they've discovered the solution. A rare plant in La Forêt de Yeux.
Sweeping forward, he motioned for Achille to move away from my mother.
Let us be done with this.
Coco snorted and muttered,
There is no solution, fruit or otherwise.
I frowned.
How do you know?
Because the fire stemmed from my grief. Expression solemn, she met my eyes directly. And there is no solution. For grief. Only time. The fire might abate, yes, but it will never truly die. Lou nodded in agreement, staring at my mother, and my mother. I swore she stared back. Crouching beside her, Lou laid a hand on her arm as Auguste continued his tirade.
We all know the crimes of the creature.
Pointing, he sneered at her soiled form.
From its own lips. It admitted its guilt. It is a witch, a powerful one. It promised to douse this lake of black fire in exchange for its life. But God has found our cure. The healers have already begun testing. By the end of the week, they promise an extinguishment to the hellfire. And at such time, this witch shall burn for her sins.
This witch?
The words shouldn't have chafed. She was a witch. But she was also my mother. And his former lover. He'd laid with her. He'd even loved her once, if she were to be believed. She'd certainly loved him. Now her stomach bled from rat bites, and she lifted a ruined hand to Lou's cheek. Lou tried and failed to hold it, her own hand passing through without purchase. Only then did I grasp the rest of his words. By the end of the week. My heart sank like a stone. She would burn by the end of the week, too soon for us to reach her, much too soon. Several in the audience applauded the king's outburst, including the balding man, but only Achille made a noise of protest. Your Majesty, there are protocols in place. Without an archbishop elect, the conclave must cast an official vote.
Ah, Auguste's nose crinkled as he turned. You again, Father...
Achille, Your Majesty. Achille Altier.
Achille Altier, you do realize the support of the crown is necessary to obtain bishopric.
Preferable. Not necessary. Auguste arched a brow, scrutinizing him with new eyes.
Is that so?
Please, Achille, Gaspard interrupted smoothly. His Majesty's word is divine. If he proclaims the witch shall burn, the witch shall burn. If his word is divine, Achille grumbled, he should have no qualms putting the matter to vote. The outcome will comply.
Something ought to,
Auguste glared at him, before lifting his arms to address the room at large, his voice curt and impatient, out of bounds.
You heard the man. Your father Achille would like a vote, and a vote he shall have. All those in favor of burning the witch, raise your hand.
Wait.
Achille lifted his own arms, eyes widening in panic.
The witch could still prove valuable. The healers have not yet perfected their extinguishant. If it fails, if we burn this woman, what hope have we of dousing the fire?
He spoke to Auguste alone now. Her knowledge has proved valuable to the healers.
I can bring in another to testify.
Auguste spoke through his teeth.
That will not be necessary. This conclave has heard enough of your ludicrous ramblings.
With all due respect, Your Majesty, the pursuit of knowledge isn't ludicrous.
Not when a woman's life is in jeopardy. Careful, Father, lest I deem it heretical instead.
Achille's mouth snapped shut in response, disappearing into his beard, and Auguste addressed the congregation once more.
Let us try this again, shall we? All those in favor of burning the witch?
Every hand in the courtroom rose. Every hand but one. Though Achille watched his peers decide my mother's fate with an inscrutable expression, he kept both hands fixed at his sides. Firm. Implacable. Even under the king's baleful gaze.
It seems you have been outvoted, Auguste sneered. My word is divine.
We'll rescue you.
Lou whispered furiously to Madame Lebel.
I don't know how, but we will. I promise.
Madame Lebel might have shaken her head.
Why wait until week's end?
Achille's voice shook with restraint.
You've made our decision. Why not burn the witch now?
Auguste chuckled and clapped a threatening hand on Achille's shoulder.
Because she is only the bait, you foolish man. We have much bigger fish to catch.
To Philippe, he said,
spread word far and wide throughout the kingdom, Captain. Madame Hélène Labelle will burn.
He cast a pointed look at Achille now.
And any who object will meet the same fate.
Achille bowed stiffly.
You must follow your conscience, Your Majesty.
I must follow mine.
See that your conscience leads you outside the cathedral in 3 days' time. At sunset, you shall light her pyre.
With that, he strode through the vaulted doors once more, and the courtroom vanished into smoke.